we think we shouldn't be struggling. We think life should be easy. That was one of my self-limiting beliefs. But the bigger the struggle, the bigger the reward, because when we, in our overcoming, is where our resilience comes from. It's where we, our capability, our trust, our growth comes from.
This is the Healthy Lifestyle Solutions podcast, and I'm your host, Maya Acosta. If you're willing to go with me, together we can discover how simple lifestyle choices can help improve our quality of life and increase our longevity in a good way. Let's get started.
Welcome back, friends. I'm your host, Maya Acosta, and here's another episode of the Healthy Lifestyle Solutions podcast. And this is a very special episode because as we are approaching the end of the year, we are also approaching the holiday season, the festivities, all the things that are coming up that makes, you know, add a little bit of perk towards the end of the year. We gather with our loved ones and we celebrate. And guess what? Many people pull out their bottles of wine and alcohol and beer, all of that stuff that we're so used to in this culture. So I have a guest on today. She's a life coach who is going to join me in this conversation about what sobriety looks like, how a life coach actually works with an individual who wants to change his or her relationship with alcohol. And so I have Lynette LaRue. She has her own story that she'll share with us, but she's basically said that she had been in a place wrapped up with this unhealthy habit of overdrinking, numbing herself, where shame and self-loathing was an everyday norm. And so as we have this conversation with her, I'd love for you to kind of explore within and see if anything resonates. She eventually became comfortable with her edges, you know, sinning with her emotions, allowing them to visit without running to pat them, to soften, you know, as a lot of us in the past have tried to avoid feeling and being uncomfortable. And so now, you know, she works with other individuals. She's on a mental, physical, and spiritual journey. She has never turned back. This is a wonderful thing. As I have now celebrated a year of sobriety, I'm so excited to have these conversations on my podcast. And so welcome, Lynette.
Oh, wow. Thank you for that amazing introduction, Maya. And so exciting that you are a year in. And how amazing is that?
Well, it's easy for me to say today that I wish I had done this years ago, but I was so, like you sort of said, you know, in your bio, I was so wrapped up in so many things that were going on in my life. And it wasn't until I hired a coach that I was able to change my relationship and separate from the things that were numbing me to being present every day. Oh, well, that's part of the journey, right? I try to be present and be comfortable with what I'm going through. So I've had Janet Guron, the founder of Tribe Sober, on the podcast, and she'll be coming on again as we continue to have these conversations. And so I went on to share my story. I met you before through one of the gatherings that she offers on Zoom, where she brings the community together to sort of update each other on how they're doing. And I met you and I said, you know what? I'm a strong believer in coaches. I love the fact that you work with individuals this way. Please start with your story. Tell us what your relationship was like with alcohol.
Yeah, yes. So I went from a daily wine and vodka habit 6 years ago to really living my best life now. But if I dial back, because I think it's so interesting that we can often just, like Steve Jobs says, you know, it's so interesting when we connect the dots backwards and we see how we did it. Because that me 6 years ago that was driving to work, absolutely miserable, so hungover, head out the car window, trying to just get cold air onto my face and thinking, like, what the hell am I doing? I just can't do this anymore. And at the same time, knowing that I needed to change something because my life felt like so out of control. On the outside, everything looked perfect. I had a lovely husband. My children were grown and thriving. I had a good career. I lived in a beautiful home. And yet I was so unhappy and I was so miserable. And I didn't know why. I'd gone for therapy. I'd gone which helped a lot. I mean, I won't say that the therapy didn't help, but I still felt like, what's next? I try to solve for all my, this thing, I thought something is missing. I don't know what it is. And I would go on workshops, on retreats. I did a swimming with dolphins and I had this dolphin beam me and I was like, oh, new neural pathway, definitely. On the way back in the airplane, there I was drinking again. Like, why? I was like, why? I just had this dolphin ping me and I was just like healed in my mind. And here I am still drinking. And then a friend suggested that maybe plant medicines were the answer. And so I went for, I tried ayahuasca. And I thought, wow, it was an incredible experience. I just kind of had, it was out of the body. I could see how my life was just destroying. And I was like, yes, alcohol is not my medicine. Like, this was kind of the very strong message. But there 2-3 months later, I was like drinking again. And then I tried, I decided it's because of my depression. It's because I don't have enough dopamine, which is all of these assumptions and self-limiting beliefs that we have. I'm going to try microdosing with psilocybin, so mushrooms. So there I was in the mornings driving to work. I'm supposed to eat a tiny little piece of the mushroom. But throughout the day, I'm just eating more and more of the mushrooms because I want more and more of the good feel. And I'm like, what the hell? So by the time it's evening, I'm so like up there. I need to come down that I drink. So this is where I was at 6 years ago in my mid 50s. And my husband was tearing his hair off with me. I was not performing at work. The director was, I think, wanting to find ways to like, get me out of there. And I was just blaming everybody. I was blaming my past. I was blaming my childhood. It was everybody else's fault that I'd ended up here and that I was broken because of all the trauma. This was just who I was. And it was so amazing that when I had that morning 6 years ago and I was driving to work feeling like hell, it was like something took me by my shoulders and shook me and said, you got to make a change, not this, like not this. Otherwise, this is, you know, you haven't got long left on this earth. And is this what you want to do with your life? Is this really how it's going to end? When are you going to give this up? Is it when you're on your deathbed? Is that the time when you wish that you had made a change years before when you had the opportunity? And it was like, I say it's my wisdom, my higher brain or my higher self just came in there and said, whatever it takes, the one thing we're going to start with is we're going to stop drinking. And I looked for support. I got hold of Tribe Sober. I'd already been with Tribe Sober before. I'd done a workshop with them, but I reconnected. So I'd even done a workshop there, had another lapse. I don't like to call it a relapse because now I can see when I connect the dots backwards that they were all learnings. I could use these as learnings going forward, but I didn't know how to. So I reconnected with Tribe Sober. And one of the people that I used to meet for coffee said to me, why don't you try coaching? And it was a game changer. And told me that they had a friend who had just certified as a coach, was looking for somebody to coach. And it was like such a life-changing moment. I didn't realize it then. Mm. It was like, this is the missing link. This is not pathologizing me. This is not a diagnosis. I kept like waiting for her to diagnose me. And she would say, no, we are not. We can look into the past with hindsight. We can see, okay, what are the patterns? But this is really about, coaching is about possibility. It's not about disease and sickness and mental illness. It's actually about wellness. You are perfect just the way you are. You just need to unlock your own inner wisdom. You actually have the wand inside of you to fix everything. And that was, for me, so hopeful, so full of possibility. And I went on to coach with another coach from the Life Coach School. I was absolutely blown away by those tools. I was like, I've got to share these tools. These tools have been so impactful to me. I'm realizing I have all the agency. I'm the one who takes accountability and responsibility for myself. It's in my hands. And it was such an interesting journey because I then certified with a coaching company in South Africa. And only last year went and certified with a Life Coach School because I still wanted to coach on those tools. I just thought they were really the tools that gave me agency, that taught me about possibility, capabilities, a radical self-accountability and radical self-love and compassion. That was the way to do it. And along the way, it wasn't just like an easy ride because about a year into my sobriety, I was still experiencing immense pain and inflammation. And I wasn't sleeping and I was like still feeling very unmotivated and eating lots of crisps and chocolates. And that's when I decided, okay, so what is the next step? And I started to understand that my vitality and my life force is generated through my body. And so I needed to heal my body and I could use my mind and my body to work together. I went to see an integrative doctor. He said to me, wow, I don't even know how you are still sleeping. Your endocrine system is a mess. Your gut is a mess. So all these years of alcohol abuse really did the damage. And then I just thought, okay, I can heal my body. So he said, you know, how do you feel about not drinking coffee, about cutting out dairy and gluten? And I was like, oh my gosh, coffee. And I almost started to cry. And I was like, it's the one thing I still love. And then I was like, oh my gosh, there I go again. It's a pattern. So, you know, coaching really helped me to question all my assumptions, all my self-limiting beliefs. And I was like, well, let me just see what happens if I don't drink coffee. Well, let me see what happens if I don't eat dairy. Let me see what happens. Let me see what happens if every morning when I get up, I got an embodiment coach at the time. Let me see what happened if I, every morning as I get up, do these beautiful yin yoga stretches into my body and just send love and breathe into the spaces. Instead of being so, I'm not in acceptance, be in acceptance that my body is communicating with me. What an amazing body. And it was about 6 months later of just continuing this practice, which is what I still do, that my husband said to me, you know, you haven't been complaining of pain lately. And I was like, amazing. I don't feel pain. I'm not in pain. I started doing Nia dancing, and Nia dancing is a form of dance therapy where you bring yourself into the body through cha-cha-cha, Tai Chi, martial art movements, and yoga movements. So, it's very much strength based, but you go with the music, and it's a whole embodiment practice that I loved. And you're doing your left, right brain. And again, about 3 months, 4 months into my Nia class, I was dancing and feeling the strength in my core and in my thighs. I'm now almost 60, and I'm like, my gosh. I feel like I'm in a better place than I was ever in my life. And as we were like leaping in the air, I looked at my friend next to me and I said, aren't we just goddesses? Look at us. And I've never forgotten that moment of, wow, this is what it means to feel alive. This is what it means to create a life that you don't want to escape from. There's always challenges, but coaching really helped me understand that I am the solution to my problems. I have the solution to any problem. And it's all in my own brain. I can now learn how to manage my patterns, my brain. The brain is for me. It's not against me. So that's a lot about my story, Maya.
To create a life that you don't want to escape from is basically key. And that the answer is found within, which is so true. Even when I've, praised my life coach, she always says, Maya, you did the work. You're the one that is doing it. And it's like, yes, but you're guiding me. And I wouldn't, I need someone outside of myself so that I can work through some of these things. There are many functioning alcoholics, people that every day, to everyday people, they look fine. They might look like they're thriving. So you might be living a comfortable lifestyle. You have a career. You have your friends. You have pretty much what you want to have in your life, and you can still be an alcoholic or at least have that inner struggle.
Yes, just having that inner struggle and that saying, why am I not happy? I should be happy and feeling guilty and ashamed about it. Because I've got so much and why am I not happy? And I think it's because we have this thought error that happiness is outside of us, that we need to pursue it. Mm-hmm. And when we realize that nothing that I'm pursuing is going to make me happy, it's like when I stop drinking, then I'll be happy. When I lose all the weight, then I'm going to be happy. When I find the perfect man, then I'm going to be happy. And then we're not happy because happiness is an inside job. And it's like, be happy now in this moment and build on enoughness and build on I am enough. I have everything I need, and everything else is something that I add on because I want to grow. I want to evolve. I want to be better. It's a very different understanding that I didn't have before. Mm. And so I say to my clients I really had to work on this because I had a bit of the fixer complex in the beginning. Where I would think, clients are coming to me and I'm going to fix them. And Lynette, everybody says you're amazing. And I was like, oh God, the pressure. And then some of my clients would end up drinking more or going back. And I would be like, what on earth? And I still get coached. And I always say, thank goodness. I am both the client and I have clients. I'm on both sides of the spectrum. So I understand. And, and she's like, well, they're outsourcing their problem to you. Where's their agency? Mm-hmm. In the same way that we outsource our happiness to a man or a marriage or a career, they're outsourcing their sobriety to you. And it's never going to work that way. So now I say to them, if you really want to stop drinking, you want to actually get to the deeper unmet needs that it's fulfilling, and you want to change up your life, I will walk alongside you. I'll be your cheerleader. I will be your thinking partner. I'll share tools with you. But it's up to you. I'm not the unicorn here. You are. You are your own unicorn. And we need to unlock that. That's where the magic is. That's where you can learn to trust yourself and that you know best for you.
I was just thinking about, you were trying, you clearly understood something was wrong, that something was missing within you. And you became aware that it was alcohol that was kind of keeping you from having that happiness. You started to develop an awareness, but it was only through learning about lifestyle medicine, Lynette, that I understood how bad alcohol is. I didn't even know that the World Health Organization had declared alcohol like as a carcinogen, like a poison to the human body, until I dove into this world. And when I learned about Tribe Sober, I started listening to the podcast and I started reading the books that were recommended. So I became a member of Tribe Sober and I just started reading and understanding.
What happens is, our brain wants to avoid discomfort. And it's the motivational triad. It's how we are programmed. We're programmed for safety, not for thriving. So the brain doesn't like to be uncomfortable. It wants to conserve energy and get to pleasure. And when it gets the pleasure or the reward, it feels safe. Now, this is what we want. That's what got us out of the cave to go and hunt. We were hungry. We went to hunt. We got the food. We're safe. But in today's world, hunger is a fear of flying or a meeting with a boss. It's anything uncomfortable, anything. It's boredom. It's loneliness. Then we don't want to feel these uncomfortable feelings. The brain is just saying something here feels uncomfortable. We need to get to safety. So where's the pleasure? And when we give it things like alcohol or food or high sugar foods or shopping, it gives the immediate relief and it learns, okay, this is how we get relief. But what happens is the more we do that, the more we shrink our capacity for discomfort and we increase our tolerance for alcohol or sugar or whatever the pleasure is that we are buffering with. I like to say we buffer our emotions away, our discomforts away. What gives us aliveness is the more we increase our capacity for discomfort, the more we can grow and be able to hold all of these emotions and feel all the things with and grow that capacity, the more energy we create, the less immediate pleasure we need, because we get the feel-good chemicals of dopamine and serotonin from the effort. It's so counterintuitive, but when I learned that, it's become one of my mottos. Like, how can I lean into increasing my capacity for discomfort? Because that's where all the juice lies.
And how do you work with people?
Yeah, so I would just say, first of all, normalize it. Nothing has gone wrong. Your brain is just remembering a time that's how you used to solve for overwhelm and stress. So it's just a thought that's popped in. A glass of wine right now would be good. I tell my clients, just tell your brain, of course it would be good. It would give us immediate relief. We're feeling overwhelmed. So tell yourself what's going on. And then say, and we don't roll that way anymore because now we found different ways. And we play the movie forward and say, because you know what? If we're going to have that one glass, then maybe we're going to have another. And then we're going to go through that whole story again. And actually, what can we do to solve for the overwhelm? That's the clue. So nothing has gone wrong. When I used to have a lot of stress in my life, and I mean, doing assignments, doing coach certifications, doing Facebook lives, often before my first Facebook live, I mean, I had a drinking dream. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm drinking and I'm supposed to do a Facebook live. And I'm like going through this whole thing in my dream and I woke up absolutely like, did that really happen? I was like, it was like surreal. And then my coach said to me, your brain is actually such a researcher and a problem solving machine. You know that you can use those dreams to problem solve. Your brain is telling you in a very out of the box way that you are overwhelmed. You are frightened. It's almost like recalibrating how you used to do it. So you can actually ask your brain in your dream, how will we solve for this? And you'll get an answer. And so I love the way that you said that's what happened to you in your dream, because researchers have shown that when they took students and they gave them problems to solve and told them to think about the problem before they went to sleep, a quarter of them woke up with a solution after never having known the solution before. So our subconscious is so powerful. Our brain is so powerful. It questions, it looks for solutions. So when we understand that about the brain, like nothing has gone wrong. When I'm having a drinking dream, it doesn't mean I'm going to relapse. My brain is saying to me, we're in a pattern that it knows, and this is how we used to solve for it.
such a wise brain that we have.
And then, exactly. It knows. Yeah.
Yeah. Please tell us more, because when you said that to me, I said there was, and I'm so glad that you said that, you know, kind of normalize that. Of course, this is the way that we think, of course, to say, I never thought about saying, well, yeah, of course, a drink will make me feel better right now. Of course. But I also have this awareness that it's not just one glass and then how the pattern can continue if I make that choice. And so feeling okay about that, I guess, is part of feeling okay with being uncomfortable in general, because I don't want to crave. But you know what I have found, Lynette, is that for the most part, I don't even think about it. I have my calendar that Tribe Sober provides. And that first year, every day I was coloring it. And I said, I should do that every year. And sometimes I don't even think about it, Lynette. Like, I'm not even, it's like, oh, I should write down that I'm not drinking. Well, it has become normal. But every blue moon, I have a craving. And especially if we're on vacation. And when I say to my husband, oh, I'm really craving a glass of wine right now, the saying it alleviates that. And then I'll say, let me have a virgin drink, or like a mojito, for example. A mojito is better because it doesn't have a lot of stuff that is going to make me feel worse. So it could just be like a carbonated drink with mint and lime. And maybe sometimes they put a flavoring in there, but for the most part, just having something else that will make me, it just feel like relaxed about it. But saying that I'm craving helps me. I don't know if that's also a good thing.
Very. Absolutely. Because it's not like, because of what we tend to then do is, oh my gosh, something's gone wrong. I've got a craving. How come I still have a craving after like a whole year? It's like, it's not normal. I'm going to drink again. We go into fear, and then we push it away. So we actually try and distract ourselves from it, which gives the thought more and more power, because it just gets, it's like taking a beach ball and trying to put it under the water. The thought gets louder and louder, and eventually the beach ball pops. You get tired of just trying to resist it. Versus when we are in acceptance, it's the same way as when I was in acceptance that I had all this pain. I accepted it. I leaned into it. I used to wake up at night with my legs throbbing. And instead of thinking, I'm going to die, what is wrong here? I can't function. I'm not taking my sleep. I would just say, thank you, legs. What are you trying to tell me? What do you need? I would massage them. I would love them. It's a very similar thing. It's when we move into acceptance, of course my brain is going to offer me have a mojito or have a drink, because this is what we do on holiday. We are festive. We are celebratory. This is what it remembers. And it's like, oh, so how are we going to celebrate now? And it's again so interesting. In the beginning, I used to always insist that I wanted my drinks in a beautiful glass, a nice goblet with like lots of blueberries and ice, and it just had to look festive. And then I got to the point and I was like, it's so interesting that I'm giving the power to the glass in the same way I used to give the power to the alcohol. It's not about the glass. It's not about the alcohol. It's about how am I feeling and how, how can I just celebrate the occasion without needing this beautiful glass? I can choose a beautiful glass and I still do it, but I often just get curious and I think, oh, curiosity is my superpower. That's my unicorn. That's what I learned going through the struggle. That when we become curious and we become the observer of ourselves, we neutralize. It's a very mm-hmm. neutral place. And all the emotion goes from it, and we can access our inner wisdom from that space.
Mm. I love that you're saying that. That's what my coach does with me too. So it's very interesting that you're saying that. And we do our sessions via Zoom. Yes. She's in California. I'm in Texas. But there's whenever something comes up, she has me do the breathing exercises and to say, I wonder, right? That it's that whole curiosity. And it is amazing that that inner wisdom does tell you, helps you to know what's going on. What I'd love to hear about how you work with people in terms of like cases that you've had. I say cases, but how, you know, have you had extreme cases where individuals can't even go like the 5 days? Like Janet from Tribe Sober sometimes has these challenges, and one of her shortest challenges, I think, is a 5-day. I don't know if she's done shorter. But if you, you know, a challenge of going 5 days without drinking, how difficult is it for some people that you might work with to even do that? Just do 5 days without picking up a glass.
Sometimes even one day. And so I work with that. I say to them, it's nothing has gone wrong. You just taught your brain that this is how you feel good, or this is how you deal with your emotions. So the first place I start with is stop beating yourself up, because what I find happens is not only are you drinking the substance that's poisonous, but what is even more poisonous is the way you talk to yourself the next morning. Or I'm such a loser. I'm so hopeless. I'm just a failure. I'm not worth anything. I'm worthless. I mean, it's just unbelievable, some of the soundtrack, because I knew also from how I used to talk to myself. So I just said to them, we start there, because you don't know. I need to add more poison and more violence into your body by the way you're thinking about yourself. Become curious and just say, how can I set myself up for success today? What are the tools I can use? And we go through different tools. I love using RAIN from Tara Brach, which is the really recognize, allow. Again, also become curious. Recognize, allow, investigate, and nurture. And teaching the brain to look for accomplishments. So at the end of the day, reflect back on your day and write and tell yourself 3 things that you accomplished today, or where did you add value today, regardless of whether you drank or didn't drink. I mean, at the Life Coach School, they actually had a very interesting program, which is teaching your brain. You can teach your brain from your higher brain by planning ahead of time how much you're going to drink and when you're going to drink. And the one rule is that on a day that you have planned not to drink is the day that you don't drink. So no matter what happens, and when you do, it's a learning opportunity. So I've had clients who went from 2 bottles a night to now not drinking anything for 5 days, having 1 or 2 glasses on a Friday, one, three or four glasses sometimes on a Saturday, my one client, and then nothing on a Sunday, and then every now and then, one on a Sunday, but totally planning ahead from the higher brain, which is so counterintuitive to all the models that we've been taught. So when somebody says to me, I know I have to, the brain is listening and it's hearing, but I don't want to, because I can't imagine how I'm going to cope without it. But every day that you don't cope, where you teach yourself that I can cope without it, you start to build self-trust, you start to build self-confidence, and then you start to actually get excited about, well, if I can do 2 days, maybe I can do 3. And you start feeling the accomplishment. And eventually it gets to, why even bother? So that's one of my approaches, depending on where my client is at. And my other one, and if they say to me, I'm willing, I want a sober life, I want to thrive in my sober life, then that's what we do. It's like, but so often my clients will say to me, you know, like you were saying, we didn't even talk about my alcohol. alcohol didn't right. even come up. It's like, because when I look back to, and I've spoken about this before, is when I used to drink and then go on this program and do that program and then have 3 months here, 2 years here, and then start to drink again. It was almost like focusing on my drinking kept me from having to focus on what really needed to shift in my life. So as long as it was the smokescreen of, oh, Lynette, she's got a drinking problem, that's what I needed to solve. And as long as that was the problem, I didn't have to solve for what wasn't working underneath it. Yeah. And that's, you know, working on my marriage, my career, and all the things. Yeah.
The other thing that I was wondering if we could talk about, Lynette, is just because I mentioned it on my podcast, is that sober, curious movement. What does that mean? How does one know if they're entering that sober, curious phase in their lives?
I think it starts to happen when you start to question. Yeah. There's such a beautiful, there's so much awareness being created now. Especially even in the health and wellness industries about what alcohol is actually doing to your body. And so people are becoming more curious about, well, what is my relationship with alcohol? An example of that was actually 2 years ago on Old Year's Eve. My husband, who still likes to drink the occasional beer, hardly drinks. I always say he's the only one I know who puts half a beer back into the fridge. And friends we were with were saying, oh, they hear that Tribe Sober is doing Dry January and you sponsor a child in one of the townships to do yoga for a year. And they big yogi friends of ours. So they all three said, we are signing up. We can take a break. You know, it's been quite a festive season for us. So they were quite curious and they said, oh no, it's going to be easy. And I was like, okay, it's going to be really interesting how January unwinds for you. So the next day we all get together for lunch and there they are pouring wine. And I'm like, okay, but this is the 1st of January and you guys just said you joined Dry January. Like, what's up? Oh, do we have to start now already? And they were like, oh, so unconscious about how, without even thinking, they would just reach out to the wine. A couple of weeks later, we were with friends on a game drive and they were all having gin and tonics on it. And our one friend said to my husband, okay, can we pour you a gin and tonic? And he was like, oh no, I'm doing Dry January. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. Somebody who hardly drinks is feeling left out, is feeling FOMO. And I think the sober curious, getting sober curious, afterwards he was reflecting, like, what was going on for me there? I thought this was going to be easy. I don't drink. But it's so interesting what happens when we get into social situations and everybody else is doing it, how as humans we just want to fit in. We just want to, and we think it's about what's in the glass. So for me, being sober curious, it's like really looking at, okay, let me take a break and see what comes up for me. What do I notice about myself and what comes up for me when I'm not drinking and other people are drinking, it's just a beautiful way to create awareness.
So now as we're approaching the holidays, and I did start off with that, you know, my main thing is I always want to support my listeners and provide tools and tips. And so I'm wondering if there's anything that comes up that you think people could use to kind of manage as we go here, in the area, in the States, Thanksgiving, and then we have the other holidays, you know, Christmas, and then New Year's, I think, is the hardest. So what would you recommend that people can do right now if they don't have a coach, if they're still, you know, with a partner that drinks, or this is, you know, they have gatherings in their own home, and they want to start to shift their use of alcohol or even their perspective. What can people do like right now if they think they might or should stop drinking?
I think, first of all, it's a wonderful opportunity to take a break. And again, people will say, why take a break when it's at the most difficult? Because everybody's going to be drinking, because that's going to be, if you're curious, it's going to reveal so much. There's going to be so much data for you if you're curious. I'm going to be running I think it's going to be a 3 to 4 day masterclass on how to negotiate the festive season by either cutting down or. So it's going to be free. It's going to be just a fun class. So I'll let you know. I'll share the link with you and the dates. And so anybody who's curious, who wants to know how to negotiate the festive season, there's going to be a 3 or 4 day, workshop with me where it's going to be about how to support you to end the year strong. And again, tools. I'll share the tools, and it'll just be, yeah. So that's what I'm offering also to the tribe.
I am so excited. So I'm assuming this is virtual since it'll also be for the tribe. Yes. Please let me know. I want to attend for sure. I'd love for some of my listeners to attend as well. Well, that's exactly what I was talking about. So you call this a master class. Last year when I was, my husband has an annual holiday party for the staff. And last year I showed up with a non-alcoholic bottle and I said to the waiter there, because we had a private dining room, I said, this is what I will be drinking this evening. And then, so I said, please serve me from here. And I should have taken 2 bottles, Lynette, because I actually had people interested in knowing what I was drinking and they wanted to sample it. So I'm shifting over to that topic if you'd like to say more. So I have, in this whole year, I have sampled different alternatives to alcohol. And I have now learned what the process of removing alcohol looks like in certain drinks and wines. So you, especially like the bubbly, I always say bubbly, but other drinks like champagne, Chardonnay, red wine, there are either the bottles that never had alcohol or those that had the alcohol extracted through a system. I did have an individual come on the show who actually owns a company that sells non-alcoholic wines. And she explained the whole process to me. And so I've sampled different things. She even provides teas that have nothing to do with alcohol, but that can make you feel like you can enjoy a nice glass with dinner, for example. So can you talk to us a little bit about your perspective on that? I have said that I've realized that some of those drinks can actually make me feel like I had a hangover, even though I didn't drink alcohol. Is there still a trace of alcohol in some of those?
So it's so little, but I think it's more like even in the de-alkalized wines, it's still got the sulfurs. It's still got the sugars.
It still has the sugar. Yes. Okay.
And you know,
will you say more?
Sugar hangovers. My goodness. I remember a night feeling very frustrated and watching lots of, I think I was watching Emily in Paris. eating like a whole bag of Haribos. I felt so sick the next day. It was like I'd had a bottle or two of wine. That's how I felt. And sugar has the same effect. It affects the brain in a very similar way to alcohol. So a lot of these drinks are still very have high contents of sugar. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like, what's the point? So, and again, I'm more curious about, okay, so why would I want the de-alkalized wine? Why would I want the decaffeinated coffee? It's the same thing. I was like, oh no, what's the point? I'm still getting all the acid buildup from it. And now I'm not even getting the buzz. So like, what's the point? And it's not about what's in the glass. It's about how I'm thinking about what's in the glass. So that's where for me, the work always was and still is. So if I think, okay, everybody else is drinking beer. So if I'm drinking beer, I fit in and therefore I feel more confident. So I have had a huge issue with fitting in and always feeling left out. And not being part, not being picked at school, not being part of the cool club, so being the weird one. So when that trigger gets evoked in me, and it gets pushed, and I just, in the past, I would either just drink so that I didn't have to feel left out, or drink a non-alcoholic drink and not even tell people that I was on a break. And then I was getting to my curiosity again. You know, it takes incredible vulnerability to say, I prefer not to drink. It's just my preference. I don't have to give any excuses or any reasons. It's just I prefer not to. And ask myself, what is it that I truly want to drink and put into my body? What makes me feel good? I can do a green juice anytime, any day.
Right.
So I often order green juices when I'm out. Water for me is the elixir of life.
It is.
And I tell myself that. So here's the difference. I'll pour myself a glass of water and I'll say, this is going to be so good for me. I'm going to love this glass of water. And then I drink it slowly and I actually mindfully feel how water hydrates and that cleanses me. And I love it. So I tell everybody I'm a water girl. I love water. It's all about how we think. I used to say I'm a wine girl. Really? I'm a Chardonnay girl. It's a thought, it's a sentence. And so I also learned that we're always a sentence away of our best, from our best life. What are the sentences that I'm telling myself? I'm the fun. I bring the fun. It's not what's in my glass. So what do I work with my clients? And I help them create a new identity. So who is Maya who prefers not to drink? How does she enter a bar? How does she order a drink? What does she think? How does she feel? And what actions does she take? Is she apologetic? No. The badass Maya who brings the fun, who is the fun, it's not about what's in her glass. It's her vibration. It's her energy. So when she orders herself a glass of water or that lime and soda, she does so with confidence and because that's what she truly wants and not from a point of, oh, I need to fit in and feeling less than. That was some of the biggest work I needed to do was when we create the new version, we can, you know, Hebb's law, it says that we have neuroplasticity. So we can reinvent ourselves. The more you think it, the stronger you link it, the more the neurons wire and fire together. So we can start thinking thoughts we never thought before. We can start adopting new behaviors that we never thought we could do. Because I think it's Joe Dispenza who wrote the book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. That's exactly how you do it, by being future focused, by getting the vision and working on, okay, I'm going to need to think new thoughts. So my new identity is I prefer not to drink. So what are my thoughts? What are my feelings? How do I need to think and feel and act to be authentic in that? Yeah.
You definitely have given me a lot to think about there in that whole curiosity. I once worked with, I had a boss who had been sober for 20, 30 years. I don't remember, but he was very involved in AA, used to mentor, go to all the meetings. And in social events, he would tell me that he would just have a cup all the time, and not really tell people he wasn't drinking, just kind of just fill it with water. But always felt the need to have a cup. And this is I mean, that's a lot to consider, the fact that we feel the need to hide that we're not drinking. And I because I went vegan, plant-based first, and then sober, a lot of us try not to be so obvious that we're not eating meat so that as to not make it uncomfortable for everyone else, right? Because people can feel judged when you're not eating animal products along with them. That's part of what we have to deal with when we make that lifestyle change. So I'm seeing how maybe it carries over from that, from making the choice to not eat meat or certain foods to now making the choice not to drink alcohol. It's like we walk around feeling like apologetic about it. I'm sorry that I'm no longer part of this lifestyle. When what you're saying is we should just feel comfortable with this new self, this access, this new access that we have to life.
Own it. Yes.
Own it. Oh my God.
Because that's what people magnetize to. It's like, wow, you know, what's your secret? Oh, what do you mean? What's my secret? You've got so much vitality and energy and you, like, what do you do? And then so, I have a healthy lifestyle. I don't eat meat. I'm plant-based. I don't drink alcohol. I do yoga. I do many things, but that's really where my vitality comes from, is by my lifestyle choices.
Yeah. And
we become influencers.
Yeah, there you go. Because I initially asked you, how can people go through the festivities if they're considering not drinking? But then for the rest of us who are already there, how do we go through it? And I think you just kind of answered my question. It's just go, just enjoy and not make it a focus about what is in my glass.
That's your aliveness. That's your vitality. It's your life force. That's just amazing. Yeah. And I mean, who wants to give that up? And it comes from the way we think and feel and manage our brains. And I understood that 80% of my life force is generated through my body, I knew that that's where I needed to start. I needed to really become very conscious of what I put in. How do I treat this body? What do I put inside this body? How do I move this body? And then the mindset is only 20%. So even our happy chemicals and our brain is reliant on getting healthy nutrients from the gut, from the body. So this is this beautiful vehicle that we have. It's like our space suit that we are in this life with. We need to take care of it so it doesn't wear out too quickly.
Yes. So now tell us, as we're wrapping up, are you taking any new clients? How can people work with you? Please share your website and anything else you'd like to share.
Okay. I've got a few spaces left now for one-on-one clients. So because I like to work with my clients for 3 months. So it's work with me for 3 months. We devise a customized plan for what my client wants to work on, what's true for her or him. I have a few male clients, mainly women. But it's really about, we work together for 3 months and we have daily support as and when needed. So they've got access to me between sessions and Mondays to Fridays. And then we meet once a week and see what's working, what's not working for 3 months. I also have some clients who I sign up for 6 weeks, but I'm finding that the 3 month journey is really where a lot of changes are made because it's quite intense and we work very closely together. I also have a group coaching program, which I launched this year, and I'm just doing my second one, called Path to Purpose. And that's where I really do the deeper dive. I only take 10 people on it. And it's a little part where we co-create and we, like, what's next? We've done 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, 1 year of sobriety. And I'm still feeling like something is missing. This is the next step. And that's an 8-week program. Yeah.
Yeah. again, you've given me so much to think about because it's true. Like, what's next? I've had to start writing a list of things that I like to explore because before they were like outside of my possibilities in terms of like my perspective, right? Like I was in a little box. This is what I do. This is what Maya does. Maya doesn't go to the gym. You know, Maya doesn't do these kind of things. And then suddenly it's like, oh, I can do this. I have the energy, the strength for this. So what's next? What else can I explore? Like, oh my gosh, it's so much that even at my age, and I say even at my age, but yeah, I'm like, oh my God, can I do that? All I need is just to take a class on how to do this or that, maybe hire a coach to teach me to do this and that in terms of like physical activities and stuff like that. And yes, why not?
The possibilities are endless. That's what's so amazing when we realize that we can. I think I had one of my instructor coach said to me, you know what, Lynette, the future is inevitable. Let's make it extraordinary. And I love that. It's Katie Pulsifer. I think I said her name right. But when she said that, it was like, oh, I'm so in. Yes. So we have this one crazy wild life. So we invite it. So why not make it extraordinary? Why not make it amazing? So that's what I offer my clients. I'm like, let's make it amazing. Let's make it extraordinary. Let's surprise yourself by what you are actually capable of.
Yeah. Yes. And your website is llrcoaching.com.
Yes.
On there, you'll have ways. Oh, you have something like a book free intro. Is this a book that you've written? Or what is? Oh no, it's just book a free intro. It must be like a consult.
Yes,
sorry
about that. So my website is still under construction.
It's a beautiful website, by the way. Well done. Beautiful. And if you're interested in learning more about Lynette, go to llrcoaching.com. And then are you, tell us a little bit more about Tribe Sober, your involvement. I know that sometimes you attend their Zoom calls, their cafe, if you want to tell us about that. And also if people are interested in joining Tribe Sober as well.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for asking that. Yeah. So I'm the head coach for Tribe Sober. So when I got certified for coaching, I approached Janet and I said, I'm 6 months sober and I'm going to do a certification. And I believe that you need coaches. And she was like, maybe, you know, why don't you come to? So that's how I started the journey with Tribe Sober and Janet. And she was just, I always think she's like my biggest cheerleader and mentor. So she's like always there watching and encouraging and pushing me just to stretch a little bit more. And so absolutely, I love working with Tribe Sober. So I help her run the online workshops now, and I come to the Zoom cafes when I can. And people who sign up with Tribe Sober and are members of Tribe Sober get a free coaching session with me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's an online course that she created, I think, last year.
Yeah. Kickstart and Breaking Free. So I would say that Tribe Sober will get you sober. I'm the next step.
Yes. Yeah, because it's one thing to put down the glass.
Yes.
But then you still need to get through life.
Yes.
Absolutely. And then I started with the podcast, listening to her podcast before I made the decision. So people come at it different through different modalities and different ways that they make that decision. But I do absolutely agree, which is why I wanted to have you on the show, that it might be easy initially to put down the glass, but you got to keep it down. And so, you have to have support and find it however you may, through Tribe Sober, through a life coach. And you are a life coach that specializes in sobriety.
Yes. Yeah. Because, awesome. and because what I realized is actually my problem, my drinking problem, was actually my solution to my life, and I solved it.
Wow. Can you say a little bit more about that? And I know we're wrapping up, but yes. how is the drinking problem the solution to your life?
The struggle is always our solution. Think about the caterpillar. The butterfly needs to struggle to break through the cocoon to be the butterfly. So there's a dissolving. So when we struggle, we need to first of all dissolve and grow the wings and get stronger and then break through and to be the butterfly. So that's how I see our struggles are our opportunities to become butterflies and to transform. It's so transformative when we overcome struggles. We think we shouldn't be struggling. We think life should be easy. That was one of my self-limiting beliefs. But the bigger the struggle, the bigger the reward. Because when we, in our overcoming, is where our resilience comes from. It's where we, our capability, our trust, our growth comes from.
Yeah. And I feel like when I'm able to look back and say, wow, like we went through this together. And I say we to my inner child.
Yes.
We went through this together and we got through it and we survived this.
Yes.
Then when you're on the other side, it does feel like a blessing in disguise, doesn't it? It's like, thank you for that. And here I am now.
Yes. So, and always, I've learned to talk to myself with endearment. So when I'm having a tough time, I'm like, so what's up, love? Like, what's going on?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Why are we eating that packet of crisps today? What's going on, love? What do you need? And I think that's another, that radical self-compassion and self-love, where we really are, we become the parent and the nurturer that we didn't have growing up. We get to be that to ourselves now.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. I think a lot of us need it, especially maybe people our age. I don't know, every generation is different, but I do feel that at least my generation kind of felt very ignored. Parents were not as around. So yeah, when I'm able to nurture myself and be there and parent myself and be there for myself, that's so beautiful. I wish I had learned that many, many years ago.
I learned it in my 50s, late 50s. And now I'm going into my next decade. And I'm like, wow, this is the best decade ever.
Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh. I'm starting to feel that way. I'm 53 and it's like, oh, I wish I had been like this earlier in my life. But I guess that's part of growing up and moving on in life is that's how it happens sometimes, right? Like we get wiser as we get older and hopefully, heal those areas in our lives.
Yes.
Lynette, I have loved this conversation so much with you. This has been wonderful. And I just want to thank you again for being with us today and joining us all the way from, you're in South Africa.
In Mauritius. Is that right? I'm now in Mauritius. Ah,
that's right. I did ask you that before.
Yes. On an island. Who knew?
Yeah.
I would change careers, move countries, live on an island.
Imagine that.
There's this beautiful song by Pretty Girl Magic. It's called Pretty Girl Magic, and I love it. It's like I've got the pretty girl magic. I live in paradise. I own my life, and I make mine a paradise. Something like that.
I'm going to have to look it up so that I can listen to it.
It's such a lovely song. I've got the pretty girl magic. Yeah.
Will you share that? Yeah. Yeah, share that song. And then the other thing, you mentioned a form of dancing that I might not have heard of before, but you said it earlier in our conversation. So if you can share that as well.
And yes.
I was wondering if it was, but you didn't say ecstatic, but we have like, you know what ecstatic dancing is. A lot of movement. Yes. But this one sounds like it's Tai Chi and yoga in a combination.
Yes.
I've done
ecstatic and I've done movement medicine, but bio dancer, but this one, I love it. It's very expressive. It's Nia, N-I-A. And actually on my Path to Purpose, people get to experience classes with my teacher. Yeah. As part of the program. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for sharing that. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Lynette. And I'll be catching up. We're going to hear from you again, hopefully about the masterclass.
Yes.
As you're going to be offering people support on how to get through the holidays.
Yes. Yes, I'm so excited. Yeah. I feel like I can chat to you like all evening. I've had so much fun. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You've been listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Solutions podcast with your host, Maya Acosta. If you enjoy this content, please share with one friend who can benefit. You can also leave us a 5-star review at ratethispodcast.com/HLS. This helps us to spread our message. As always, thank you for being a listener.